The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a podcast for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews, and today I am recording without Michelle Martinez, my partner in crime, and I have a guest today that I'm super excited to have on the podcast, and who I believe has listened to all of our podcast episodes. And this guest is my best friend, Lauren, and I've talked about her a lot on the podcast before, and I was the maid of honor in her wedding, and she's here visiting me, and so we're going to record this in my closet. And the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is obviously a labor of love for me and also for Michelle, and we love talking to each other about weddings, and we love the fact that we're able to share our knowledge and advice and experiences on this kind of forum. We love that we get to share experiences with couples. We've interviewed vendors. We've talked to y'all about, you know, our advice or insight into working with certain vendors. And mostly Michelle and I like to talk about the process of planning your wedding. And we hope that we're able to give everyone some good advice and guidance about how to make this wedding planning process as stress-free and streamlined and fun as possible. And a big part of that is us talking about like staying grounded and being realistic and keeping your priorities in line, making sure you stay connected with your partner, just things along the way that can make this planning process easier for everyone. And then a flip side of that, we've alluded to a little bit, people who might be planning their weddings under difficult circumstances. And that's what I will be talking to Lauren about today. What happens when planning your wedding coincides with a really devastating event in your life? In Lauren's case, her mom was diagnosed with cancer basically the entire time Lauren was planning her wedding, and then also up to the wedding weekend, dealing with her mother's illness and imminent death was kind of there the entire time. And that is huge and hard. So trigger warning out there for any of you listening, that is what this episode is going to be about. And I'm so happy to have Lauren here, and I love her so much. And I know that talking about this will be helpful for, you know, anybody out there who's planning their wedding while also just dealing with some things that aren't in your dream situation of this time of your life, which is supposed to be so happy and joyous, and we have all this pressure on it being the best day of our life, and everything that goes into it just is supposed to make it so wonderful. What happens when it's not like that? So without further ado, I will welcome Lauren to the closet in the podcast, and we will go from there. So thank you for listening, and as always, please check us out on Twitter and Facebook, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com. If you have any questions, and our website is where you can download the episodes, or iTunes, and you can leave a review and share with your friends and all of that. Okay. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the closet this and to so the exciting. Podcast. I am nervous.
And, me too.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I mean, like, when I was telling Michelle about this episode, she's obviously not with us to record it, but I was telling her yesterday what I was going to do and how important I think it is. I think she said, like, are you going to write anything down? Or, like, do you have questions for Lauren? And I was like, no, Michelle. We used to perform together all the time. She's an improv actress. We know how to, like, tell a story and bring it back.
True.
And I was giving myself props for like, we're going to tie it up in a nice bow and it's just going to... But then now that I'm in here, I realized I do usually have some notes for any episode I record with Michelle, or when I have a guest, like my cousin has sat there two of my cousins have sat there. I have questions for them, and they're kind of there so that if like things get sticky, I can just go to the questions. But we'll start with the basics, and we'll just see how this goes. So a year ago, we put out our first podcast. And when we did that, it happened to be at the same time that you had just been like recently engaged.
Yeah, so it was perfect. I felt that you were doing it for me, so don't say otherwise.
And you have listened to every episode,
right? I have listened to every episode.
Even post-wedding.
Even post-wedding.
Okay, good.
Because I'm still thoroughly entertained. Natural disasters. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Did you listen to the one where Michelle interviewed the real bride on her wedding day?
Yes.
That was the last one.
And then I looked at that picture, her awesome pink outfit.
Yes. I actually, that surprised me. That I don't know if she mentioned the dress or not, but the picture, I was like, oh, that is not what I was expecting that bride to look like. How weird that we had like a preconceived, like I was surprised that her hair was short.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Like,
I think we have we have a notion in our mind of what brides should look like anyway.
And she's in a pink dress with a pink veil, a coral.
Oh, so cute.
Oh, she looks so cool. Okay, so, she's listened to every episode.
No, I'm like the biggest fan for sure. That's why I'm nervous.
And you'll send me notes sometimes.
Don't make it sound
not like critical notes, but just so you know, like this sounded this way or I couldn't hear you during this part. But I know I can count on Lauren.
But I also say, like, that was awesome, or I love that you did this, you know? They're good.
Yes, actually, you've told us before when episodes that we kind of thought were, like, not a miss, but just like, oh, we recorded this episode and we put it out there. And you, it's the one about your wedding's not being all about you.
Oh, yes.
And giving it, like, perspective. Like, don't talk about your wedding at your work all the time.
Oh, super helpful. Yeah. And some have been, especially, like, in planning my own wedding, I was like, that is so helpful. And, yes, it's not sexy. That topic isn't sexy. But, like, it's really, really important. So those things were absolutely really, really helpful.
Okay. Yeah. So when you – well, let's – for some background on Lauren and I, we met 15 years ago, right? Yes.
No. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So I was 21. So that means,
I was 19. It's my second year of college when we met.
Yes, and I was a transfer student, so I was older.
Near like Christmas break, and our friendship developed, and then we've just had each other's back in a really profound way ever since. So in that time, I got married, I had two kids, I moved to Texas, and I now live in the suburbs with a big walk-in closet.
We're in it. It's amazing.
We lived together in San Francisco in the tiniest little like walk-up, you know, flat, and so we've had some experiences. But in the times that I was getting married and having babies, you were in Chicago, going to grad school for acting, and then auditioning and producing your own work and trying to find your place, and also single or with like kind of shithead guys
for
a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you met Blake not that long ago.
Yeah, in like relativity to all of that. Yeah, so we've been together for over 3 years, but yeah.
So when how old is Blake?
46.
Okay. And you are
37.
So I know I talked on the podcast about you planning your wedding. You kept saying like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're too old. We're like really old to be getting married. This is both of our first weddings. We're so old. And I tried to discourage you from doing that, but I understood that you didn't want the like blushing bride, you know, like, you wouldn't ever call me and like gush about wedding planning. I even asked you that at one point. I said, Lauren, you can tell me about.
No, I just felt
like,
bad.
Ask me questions.
That's your job, also. So I felt like I didn't want to be taking advantage. You know, like I don't want to be taking advantage of. Like, hey, answer this question. Or every time we talk, that's all we talk about.
Yeah,
you
were very conscientious about that.
Respectful of that.
Yes,
I had your podcast, so I was. I know that's like not fair to you as my friend, but like as my best friend in the world. But I was like sort of doing that on my own with your voice in my head. But it was just sort of in your podcast.
But I bring it up because I think naturally you kind of dug your heels in against being this like typical traditional bride from the beginning with how you looked at planning your wedding and how you looked at the experience of being a bride even before your mom got sick or it got bad.
Right.
But once your mom got sick and it became like Lauren lives in Chicago and her mom lived in California. So there was a lot of like just traveling. Not for fun wedding stuff, but for...
No, and I certainly did things I would not have done if it weren't for my mom being sick. Like, I did bridal things that I would not have done.
For her sake?
Yes, totally. Yes.
Like you like acquiesced to things that you knew were important to her.
Yes. I knew that there was one week to find, less than a week, to find that dress because I wanted her to buy it. And that was so important to her that she buy it.
To be
and
present.
That she be there. Yeah. And she actually picked it out too. But I let her have a second shower, bridal shower, in California with all of her church lady friends. And that is something I would not have
acquiesced. Okay, so see, yeah, you use the word let because while some brides are like, everyone throw me a shower, you can throw me a shower, you can throw me. You were like, I'm doing this one shower, Christy's going to throw it.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need anything else. I don't need to be the center of attention. I don't need a bunch of Tupperware. Mom, no.
Right.
And then when she got sick and she was like, I really want to do this for
and
you.
And I can't come to your shower in Chicago. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
It can be in a church.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Rexen, whatever. We're going to.
I will do it.
Okay. And so, and you did.
Yes.
And.
I'm glad I did now. I'm glad I did. Yeah.
Was there another time that she came out?
She came out a year ago to buy my dress.
Yeah.
And then I went out. So that was October. And then I went out in February for that shower. And then she came out.
Okay. So if you could just like map out the two timelines really briefly so we know what we're talking about. You get engaged.
Well, she got sick. She got diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. So November 2015.
Okay.
Then I got engaged in May of 2016. Then she came out in October to buy my dress. And then there was a shower in January.
But she got diagnosed, but then it was like, oh, we removed a tumor.
Yeah. Yeah. And removed her ovaries and all the things.
And it looks like we got it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you guys set a date at that point because it was like, it looks like we got it all.
We wanted to give her time to recuperate but not so much time that, you know.
You didn't want a 2-year engagement.
Yeah, I did. Yes, of course. I think anyone who has an engagement longer than a year is absolutely insane.
But a part of that was like, Blake's older, and so his parents are older.
I know, they're 80, out there. So we were like, let's go.
We don't want to be engaged forever. Yeah. And also, you may be trying to have a baby, maybe.
Yes.
And so it's like, let's get on with this. Because some people, you know, are engaged for, they don't care. They're like, oh, we live together. No big deal. It's just, what's the hurry?
We live together, but I think we just felt like several of the reasons to get married are that we love our families and wanted them to be around to celebrate that moment with us. And because his parents are 79 and 80, we were like, let's go for it. And because my mom got sick, it was like, why wait? Let's go for it. And part of the reason of having not a big wedding, it was 100 people, but part of the reason of like having that celebration and ceremony is that we remember them being there.
Right. You know? So at the time that you guys set a date and the venue was a private estate, so there wasn't as much like, we have to get this venue. There was some flexibility.
Yeah, we could pick the date we wanted. Yeah. It was his parents' house, so.
Yeah, which is huge, like sprawling, mid-century. I don't even, what style is their house?
Gosh, it's like, I don't know. It's just one level, but it's definitely like large enough to have, we had the ceremony in their living room with 100 people. So it definitely is a beautiful home in a suburb of Chicago. And, you know, this like, you know.
But once you set, I think as people would ask, and maybe people ask you like, why even keep making plans when your mom was sick? But the reason was that the doctors were saying, you're getting better.
Well, they said, we feel confident about it. We feel like we've done the right, we've done what we can do surgically, and we'll put her through chemo and radiation. And even if the worst was to happen, it wouldn't be super fast.
It's not imminent.
Yeah. And also, they just don't like to give you a timeline.
Right.
I think I took her lead on that. If she had wanted us to postpone or hurry up, we would have done it. But I never got that sense from her. You know, I think she felt really strongly that she would make it.
Yeah.
And that she would be fine.
Yeah, because what I thought was ironic was that you guys planned it a little bit later in 2017 because you wanted to give her time to recuperate and be healthy enough to enjoy herself there. Mm-hmm. But then when things started to go downhill, the question was, do we move it up? Do we move it up a couple of months so that she can be there and enjoy it? And I went out to Chicago in January to do Lauren's bridal shower with friends. And the weeks leading up to it, your mom was like, we were talking on the phone about it because she had planned to meet me there and we were going to like co-host this thing. And we had made a lot of the decisions together. And then a week before we were going to go, your mom called me and said, I don't feel great. And I'm just warning you that you know, I'm not going to make the decision until the day, Friday, that I'm supposed to leave. But I don't feel great. And, you know, is it just that's what's going to happen. And then she ended up not coming. And I was out in Chicago with Lauren, and she didn't, her mom didn't give us a ton of information before the shower, which was a little weird. We were both like, okay, she's not here. That sucks. I hope she's okay. But we're doing this thing. People are coming to like,
I mean, I thought about it and I was sad about it and I was trying not to focus on it, but I didn't read into it at all. And
yeah.
I didn't think that there was another bomb to be dropped, and there was for
yeah.
sure.
And then the day after the shower, Lauren and I went to see a movie, and it was like raining. And
that has happened to me after a couple movies.
Like
so
bad news
yes.
after a movie.
What did we see?
We see La La Land. So the movie was whatever, was fine. Good. Yeah, sure. There's dancing. I love Emma Stone.
I mean,
and then we got in the car to leave, and it's pouring rain, and Lauren's driving, and your mom called, and you answered the phone.
Right after she got diagnosed, I never not picked up for her, even if it was totally inconvenient.
Yes.
Before that, I would be like, oh, I'll call her later. It's fine. But once she got sick, I called her every day. And she was like, oh, the joy of having cancer is your daughter calls you every day. And I was like, that's sick, but it's true.
Lauren is the only child.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are driving. Her mom calls. And I'm in the passenger seat. And this is your experience. But I don't think I'll ever forget that.
I'm separate from it as if I wasn't there because it, you know, you sort of like squash that stuff. Like I know
you're
I was
like
there
floating
and
above it.
Yeah. I know what happened, but I can't, it's not as visceral maybe as it is for you even because I was like,
so the call was to say, the reason I didn't come this weekend and I didn't want to tell you before the shower, but the doctors found more cancer on like Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, something like it. Yeah. She had been like keeping the secret for several days,
which is not easy for her to do. It was not easy. She was not a good secret keeper.
And I didn't tell Christine. I didn't tell you because I so wanted you to enjoy the day. But the news is not good. And
oh yeah, she said I'm terminal.
There's nothing much,
you know. And I think she sounded, I don't know, like at peace with it in some way because I think she had been so just struggling because the pain was so great. And there was something, there was some relief in saying like, oh, we're going to do hospice and I'm going to just be comfortable. And I think in so many ways, like that's, was a relief to her and maybe to all of us. Cause I really struggled. Like when we picked out my wedding dress that week was just agony because she was not feeling well and she did not have enough pain medication with her and her doctor couldn't prescribe something from her because she was out of town. I mean, there was just some complicated things and it just was so, you know, no one wants to watch someone they love suffer. It was awful. It was hard.
And this call was saying, obviously this is going to happen. This is going to kill me.
Yes. But I in no way thought she would not make my wedding.
Right. Because this was January,
yeah,
as
so
we
thought,
said,
oh,
and then the wedding is in May.
Progress. Yeah. Slowly.
And the one question she said, my husband and I, we asked the doctor, can we make it to May? Mm-hmm. Can we make it to the wedding?
Oh, they were confident. Yeah.
Yes.
The doctors were pretty confident.
Several doctors said yes. And it's essentially like, it's good to have something to hope, like something in the future to keep.
Yeah. Now in hindsight, I think they probably didn't know at all, but it's so good to tell the person that no matter what.
How could a doctor look somebody in the eye and be like, no, actually.
Yeah. You can't.
Unless it was like, you're going to die in the next 3 days. Like, you are.
Yeah.
This is not going to happen with longer than a week. Then they could be brutally honest. But when it's this vague, like, I mean, the 5 months wasn't vague. But for her timeline, how were they to know? So, of course, they were going to say, yes, we think.
Yeah. I mean, I wish they had called me and told me.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But for her, like, I think it was so important. So, if anything, like, I'm glad they told her that. I'm glad she had that.
And this is back to what we were talking about at the beginning, that Lauren had been living in Chicago, living away from her mom mm-hmm. for many years by this point and had not met, like, the one and single child, you know, only child, only daughter. And her mom had been to many of her friends' kids' weddings by that
yours
point.
Totally, yours and yes.
And had married somebody who had kids and then grandkids. You know, she was a step-grandma. And I mean, just from talking to her about just planning the shower, you could tell in her voice how important it was to see Lauren walk down the aisle. And when you talk to my mom, she would say like that my wedding was one of the best days of her life. But you wouldn't want that to be the finish line also.
Right.
Like, oh, that's going to be the best day of my life. And after that, I can just die.
I was okay with that. Like, it was awful to me. And thinking about, like, if we are able to have a baby, thinking about my mom not meeting that baby was, that was sort of the agony and the tough spot for me. So if I would see a little girl on the street, I would have a really hard time. But at the same time, I thought, but I am older. I'm 37 and my mom is 67. And for her to be able to be at this moment, if that's all we get, if that's the last thing, that's a great high point. Like, that's a great way to, that's a great ending. You know, I want her to have that.
Which is the fuel that kept you guys going through with this May date. And like, think about, if you're listening to this, think about everything you have to do to plan your wedding. There's hiring the DJ and then meeting several times with the DJ and talking about specific songs and filling out templates online. That's just one part. It, you know, in their case, they had like live musicians and they had friends that helped with things like announcements and signage. And, you know, Lauren and her husband are both artists and actors. And so there's a community of artists and actors in Chicago that like lent their talent to this wedding. And you're going to, you know, catering tastings and looking at how to decorate your cake and which kind of flowers you want. And at the same time that Lauren is making decisions on whether she wants like succulents or lamb's ear in the centerpieces, right? You're also getting a phone call from your mom or dealing just with the idea, like, do I go home back to California for a while? The questions of like what any of us would have to do if we had a parent that was dying across the country at the same time as planning your wedding. Like I told you enough times, I think, during it, like how in awe I was of you when I was trying to check in and be like, when is your breakdown going to happen? Yeah. Like, are you okay? Are you fighting with Blake, like your husband, you know, future husband? Are you dealing okay at work? I mean, do you cry in your closet every day? Does that happen? I was checking in with you, but I remember telling you how much I loved you and how like how amazing I thought you were to be doing this. But I told other people probably a lot more than I told you. And I think back to that time, like for all the like loving that we give people kind of behind their back or for, you know, lack of a better term, like the support that I'm putting out there in the universe for you. I was telling other people about you and how strong and steady and amazing I thought you were, maybe more than I was telling you. And maybe I felt like you
told me for sure. I think in some ways I was just like white knuckling the whole thing anyway. And so indulging in it, sometimes I couldn't do that. I'm so grateful though that my husband and I, we were like really on the same page about wedding stuff. I think the only time that was really a challenge for me was the rehearsal. But everything else up until that point, we like agreed and we felt confident about, and it that felt pretty simple.
So like, I don't even know how you're going to even start to answer this, but like, how did you grant yourself permission to like just be an animal in the way that you just have to breathe and eat and sleep, and like some days that is all you could manage?
Yeah, I mean, I let some things go that if it had been a different year wouldn't have happened, and I think I have to like forgive myself for some things that I wish I don't know.
Focused on?
Well, I guess. Like, I think, like, oh, I look at my wedding pictures, I'm like, oh, you're so fat. Like, you know, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could be kinder to myself now about that, which is, like, so...
I hate that you
But feel... it was, like, I was working out like a maniac, but I was probably drinking those 3 glasses of wine every night, you know, because I was so stressed out, and so I wish I could have, like, given myself a little bit more grace on that. I hope that I can still, as we move forward, like, do that. It wasn't, like, you know, you just like, for some reason, I don't know, you have that thing where you're like, oh, I'll just be skinny and beautiful on my wedding day because I just will, because I'm the bride. But I was so, for some reason, weirdly fixated on that. And I just wasn't losing weight because I was so stressed.
Yeah, it was like the physical, like, answer to this problem that was happening. Like, you couldn't not look at yourself or notice yourself.
Yeah.
But it was the last thing on the back burner.
Oh yeah. I was like totally going to the gym all the time, but I'm sure I was eating whatever I wanted, and because I was so whatever, and I was drinking I was drinking because I was like, I need these 3 glasses of wine a night because I'm so stressed out because I have to answer the phone all the time. It's like that watch of like, you know, even now I sort of jump every time that I hear my phone vibrate, you know, and after it was like took me months to sort of step back from that I don't have to answer my phone and I don't have to be next to it all the time. But also,
you were sad.
I was so sad. And I was so sad, you know, being an only child and being, you know, the daughter, and this is my mom, and wanting her to have that experience. And you know, also just being angry and thinking like, why can't I just have this one thing? Like, why can't places just have this one thing?
I have waited so long.
Oh, yeah, totally. I've waited so long and I have this wonderful fiance and it's his. I kept, you know, in a lot of ways just thinking like, oh, it's his wedding too.
I think you did take on a lot of guilt about that in like a, it's not your fault, obviously, but it wasn't something either one of you knew was going to happen. And like you said, you've only been with him for 3 years. Mm-hmm. In a relative, it's not like he knew your mom.
No, he met her one time, but while she was healthy, you know. And I think, like in my mind, I'm like, oh, she already had.
He was just figuring out the dynamic between you and your mom while you guys were figuring out your own dynamic. So
totally.
When Lauren was planning her wedding, she said something about no kids coming, or like that the idea was like that there's not going to be any kids there. And we've talked about this in the podcast, Michelle and I, how this is like universally one of the stickiest for some reason. Guests just do not respect the no kids rule. And it threw you.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And we did have calls that felt like a typical wedding planning experience where you were like, I don't get it. Why is this so hard? I'm offering to get a babysitter. They don't want a babysitter. I'm offering to do a kids table. My kid's going to sit with me. I don't want your kid to sit with you. I have this table plan. We're eating this 5-course, whatever. And for a minute, for me, it felt like, oh, she gets to like experience actual wedding bullshit because so much had been so heavy.
Totally.
And what I'm trying to say is that if you're planning your wedding under normal circumstances, things like that can be something that you talk about for like 3 weeks straight at dinner with your partner. And just like, well, I cannot believe that Aunt Jane hasn't told Casey that she is not to bring her kids. And I'm not going to go to her wedding now or whatever. You get spun out on something. And it becomes very important, and like your friend that was getting married close to you, just so stressful. But it's not, none of it is like, none of it actually matters in the big scheme of things. And what I wanted today to talk about was like, what happens if something else that really does matter is requiring your attention?
Yeah.
And your emotional attachment. So many things like your, you know, exercise regimen or your eating had to go on.
Yeah.
The back burner just by virtue of you like literally not having room in your soul to deal with it. How do you talk about invitation ribbons when
oh my God, totally.
When you're sad?
Well, it's also like I will have patience for 10 minutes, right? So we tried to put ribbons on our invitations and we took that hot glue gun and we tried to make it work and it didn't work. So I just was very quickly like, fuck it. So I think I don't know. In some ways, it was a great gift because it really clarifies your priorities. And we just really focused on what was important to us, you know? I mean, yes. Okay, so our ceremony that we wrote ourselves, you know, I was the week of, like, I cannot deal with this anymore. Like, I've got to be done with this. I know it's not perfect.
That's also a very challenging part for couples to do.
I was like, I know it's not perfect, but he's like, okay, get your computer. Let's go to a bar, you know, 5 nights before or whatever, and let's figure it out. And I'm super.
And they're talking about the script. Yeah, the of script what the efficient is going to say.
And I'm super glad that we did, you know, because we really worked through it and I was able to like compartmentalize and focus because I thought, oh, you know, we were talking about what this day meant to us. And then we said, oh, it's going to be a touchstone for us for the rest of our lives. So it's not about like, oh, it needs to be the perfect day. But it's like, oh, when times are tough, we want to think about the things that we said to each other that day. So that is important.
That's really great insight into that process.
And now when I look at our wedding vows and, you know, when I look on my computer.
Because you keep the script.
Totally.
Yeah. Don't ever get rid of the script for your wedding.
If you know Christy, she'll always ask you for that script. So,
yeah, to print it and save it or, like, you know, put it in a binder somewhere. And what Lauren, I think that's so awesome what you're saying is, like, it's not just rereading it to be like, oh, we said this and we said this, but remembering that those words were important on that day for a reason and that you very, very conscientiously chose them.
Yeah, we fought for them because we would have, I mean, it would have been so much easier to give up and be like, I can't spend any more time on this.
Let's just get a template online.
Let's just watch The Voice because I'm so tired.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so stressed out and I can't. But I hand this to Blake because he like pushed because he knew that this would really matter. And I'm so grateful that he did. Because what I told him was that it's so important for us to have this as a touchstone. But the reason people love weddings is because it reminds them why they fell in love with each other.
Yeah.
And so if we can have, as we think theater is, it's a communion, you know, right? It's a time to commune together, is that we wanted our wedding to be an affirmation of the relationships in the room, right? And so hopefully that's what it was. But
yeah,
we were conscious of that.
Now, that being said, I thought you looked very calm on your wedding day, mm-hmm. when we talk about like the ceremony, and I was spending time with you right before, mm-hmm. and it, I don't think, like, I'm giving you credit in that, like, for everything happening, and we'll tell the story in a second, but for everything happening on your wedding day, I knew you were a little, like, disconnected.
Yeah.
But you looked beautiful, and you looked happy, and you looked calm and confident. There was literally no even semblance of, like, jitters or uncertainty
no.
about what you were doing. So for, you know, whatever power, like, came upon you in that day, from when you woke up that morning to when you walked down the aisle, it seemed like you were very composed.
Well, that day was awesome. Like, that, it was like there was one amazing day in this crazy, horrible storm. Like, there was one moment of sunshine, and it was that day. It was really that day. And I mean, honestly, it's to your credit, because I think I was struggling so hard, and my dutiful side would have said, I need to go see my mom today. And
yeah.
we should explain this, but like, I just, and you were just being very protective, and I just needed that, because I'm not someone who will,
choose to lift somebody else into having an experience that matched their expectations than to take it yourself. That's a quality of yours. Maybe it's an only child thing. I don't know. It's that Lauren is always going to care more about the other people's experience in something than her own. It makes you a good person, but it also makes you put yourself last in these moments where you should maybe be a little bit grabby with some of this stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So what had happened was, Lauren's mom did fly out to Chicago for this wedding a week ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm. In order to sort of rest up for the festivities. But unfortunately, like, she had gotten to the point where it wasn't the best idea. Like, she had gone downhill very rapidly, and I had been out there the week before, 2 weeks before, and just really felt like it was a bad idea. But
and even said,
yeah,
I don't think you should come out. Let's do everything we can to make you feel present on that day.
Oh,
but
I
your
said,
health.
Yeah, Blake and I went out 2 weeks before, and we would have done a little ceremony with that, with her and her husband, and we would have done something, and we would have celebrated, and I would have, you know, made sure that she felt present, like FaceTime. We would have FaceTimed her into the ceremony, and we would have flown back out to California the next day. But, you know,
she was determined.
It wasn't my choice. And, it wasn't my choice.
So they come out, and so now her mom's in the Chicago area, and she was planning on staying in a hotel with her husband, who had all of her medicine and, like, could help keep her comfortable until the wedding day. And then that's when they would be present for as many hours on the wedding day as they could, mm-hmm. as they could be. And I came out just 2 days before the wedding. And by that point, so within 4 days of her getting to Chicago, she had to be put into a hospice facility. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got there, she was in hospice in a room, and it was looking very much like she was not going to leave that room, period.
Right.
And Lauren's wedding is in 3 days, 2 days.
Right.
So the day of Lauren's rehearsal.
It's so horrible, because it literally was like the worst day of my life.
I
honestly think that was the worst day of my life. Worse than the day she died, because but literally that was the worst day of my life.
It was so hard. Like, Lauren has much more experience. I keep talking about you in the third person because I'm talking to the mic, but
to the fans.
Yes. Listen, here's the background. Lauren was actually there when your grandma died, mm-hmm. and pretty present. Like, mm-hmm. I, Christy Matthews, have very little experience being around anyone who's dying in my life. I have not spent a lot of time in hospitals. I've not been to a lot of funerals. I've not been close to a lot of people that have died, you know, knock on all the wood. But Lauren actually has, I mean, you kind of knew, like, this is what it looks like. And
yeah, my grandmother was like my other parent, you know, so we were super, super close. And the hospice experience was actually really beautiful with her. Like, it was absolutely like an honor and a privilege to be part of that. It was lovely. And she was able to die, like, in my mom's home and all of that. But she was 80-something, 87,
right.
You know. My mom was 67. That's a completely different experience.
Yes. So she's in this hospice facility, and we literally, we had like 3 hours before the rehearsal was going to start at Blake's parents' house, and we went to the facility, just the two of us, and I, like I said, I mean, I'm like the worst. I'm just like, so I'm not good at this. I start sweating like the minute, and none of this is about me, and that's the thing. Like, but you feel like, oh my God, we're going into the room, and it was like fairly shocking to me what your mom looks like, because I've known your mom for 15 years.
And she was always a little bit overweight and stuff, and now she was super skinny, and
she looked 87.
Yeah.
So that's what this disease does. But on top of all of that, she was in a ton of pain and discomfort and seemed very, very uncomfortable. So it was really just a lot to take in. And keep in mind, we're going from this facility to the rehearsal, and the next day we're going to have a wedding.
It was hard because she was super agitated just at that point of like trying to escape, you know, she was sort of out of her mind, and they were saying that she, you know, definitely the cancer was in her brain, and she was trying to get out of bed, and she was super agitated. And so it was really hard for me to leave and go to the rehearsal, which was actually down the road. I mean, it was less than 5 miles away. And you know, you and I were there, and I was just having a hard time leaving until she was relaxed. And then also meeting with the doctor, and the doctor was saying, look, we don't think she can leave this facility. It's not safe. And I knew that was the case. I was glad. I sort of was like, why did I spend all this time trying to convince them? I should have just known that somebody else was going to make that decision.
Right. And she said, I highly recommend that they don't leave. Or she said, you're not leaving.
No, she said, you're not leaving.
You're not leaving. Okay. And that, she said that in front of Lauren's mom's husband. But he's there too, and he thought, we're going out to Chicago.
Oh, he was excited to go to this wedding.
We're going to go to the wedding. It'll be Anne's last event, and then after that, I'll bring her back home, and she'll die in peace, and we will have completed this mission that I, myself, Dawn, have taken so seriously to complete for her. But then we're told, while we're all in the room by the doctor, that that's not going to happen, and so we left.
Yeah, and I think it was just hard for me because I wasn't in my body or in my mind. And
I can't see how you could have been.
Well, it was just so hard. And then we got to our rehearsal, and it was stunning. I mean, everything looked so beautiful, and I was so excited for the next day.
But then there's your dad is there, and your officiant, one of your oldest best friends. And
complicated.
In-laws, and it's the rehearsal. Think about everyone's wedding rehearsals. They're like, hey, here, oh, kiss, kiss, we're going to do this, and
so,
this
like,
is happening
tomorrow.
So, like,
everyone is in that mode, but you and I are, like, I mean, I was shell-shocked, so I didn't know what I was doing. And then my husband's being a director, which is what he is, and that's wonderful, but I literally felt like he was being so rude to everyone in the room. I mean, he was being maybe brusque because he wants to, like, direct the show, but I just, like, for some reason could not handle it. I was just so checked.
Well, you were on two separate sides of the spectrum, because he was sort of making up for your lack of energy in that moment. I don't know. Or like your energy being just this like black hole of like, what is happening? Like, we just leave this like heavy, hot, like sad room, you know, where this thing is going to happen.
I still wake up every day and think, I can't believe that happened.
But for you, we knew we were going to be waking up, and the plan kind of was like, is there time before we have to be at the ceremony, basically, to go back up to the hospice and see your mom for a couple of minutes before we literally walk you down the aisle?
But you said, and you were right, you said, and I will always be grateful for this.
I said no.
No, you said no, you can't. And I think, you know, I said this to my therapist, with whom I'm doing very hard work. But
shout out to all the therapists.
Thank you.
Out there.
Thank you, Erin. You're amazing. You just said no, that doesn't work. And I think I understood that you were right, and that if I had gone, because of the way things that went the day before, that if I had gone to see my mom, I would never emotionally have left that room. So I would not have been present for my own wedding, because I certainly was not present for my rehearsal. And not that it mattered. That wasn't the high stakes, but it sucked for me. And it's not more important than my mom and her well-being, but she was being well taken care of. I knew I would see her afterwards. We were FaceTiming the wedding.
This is one day.
And it was about our, it was about Blake and I, and it was about our day. And I feel really bad. You know, in some ways I still sort of in hindsight feel like bad that she didn't see me in my wedding dress. But I mean, to explain to the listener, she was far gone by that point. Like, she wasn't not checked in. So it wasn't like she was missing it really.
And I, there was like this plan, maybe by her husband, maybe that had been conceived of long before we had gotten to this point. But the plan was like, come to the hospice in you and Blake both see each other before. Like, it was this crazy plan to come say hello to your mom before you join everybody at the house for your wedding. And I knew, I mean, I know you better than anyone. I knew like, this is not fair.
It didn't make sense.
And it doesn't make sense, but it's, but like you said, if had you gone, you never would have.
Yeah. I mean, I was always about duty and doing the right thing. And I am a rule follower, and I've, in my entire life, I've always done what I felt my parents or other people wanted me to do. And I, you know, yeah, of course, sometimes I still feel sad that she didn't see me in my dress, but she bought me that dress. She's the one who picked it out. She saw photographs afterwards. And, you know, I would have missed being present for my wedding. I would have missed it emotionally. So I'm so glad I did it. I'm glad, I'm grateful to you for that.
The day before, when I told Lauren, well, by the time we left the rehearsal, I told her we're not going back to the hospice tomorrow. Totally. You can go the day after your wedding with Blake and spend real time there. But when I told her that, I also called a friend of ours who was going to be a guest at the wedding. Can you use a, use your phone to FaceTime? And we arranged with the hospice to have a big screen TV in your mom's room. Mm-hmm. And our friend held up his phone and actually like got really close. Yeah. I mean, like, he was, he moved around and.
Oh, he did a great job of not being like interfering in the ceremony, but really making my mom present. And I could see him. So I was aware of him, but it wasn't like so much that it was in the way. It was amazing. Yeah. It was perfect.
So it felt like we knew, not, and it's like, not like everybody knew, but you and I and Blake and the people at the rehearsal all pretty much knew that your mom wasn't coming the next day. And you were okay with that.
I felt it was the right choice. I felt like we would be putting her on display. I felt like we would be threatening her sort of safety, you know, in that way that she would suffer by making that trip.
Even and it would be unintentionally, but unmistakably the center of attention or the center of people's focus on that day. And if you, I mean, I cry when I see people like say goodbye to each other at an airport. You know, just to hug each other at, like, the airport before you get in the security line and hug each other and say goodbye, and then the one person walks away and the other person stays in line. Like, I tear up. Michelle always makes fun of me because I cry so much with, like, watching the strangers and the love. Michelle. But that is the truth. So I truly cannot imagine your mom having been there and you, you know, her in the front row when there's you, my best friend, in her white dress with the flowers and the smile, looking at the man that you love and that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. It would have felt very split, and you couldn't help but feel sad.
And yeah, I mean, there was obviously a bittersweet air, like, note in the air, which makes sense, but
yeah, and it's not like you were giddy.
Oh, no, no, definitely not. I mean, I was so, like, committed and absolutely resolute, like, I had no sort of jitters about, like you said, I had no jitters about it, so I felt so confident about that, and that was such a great relief. And I was so sad that she wasn't there for those private moments, but I wasn't sad that she wasn't there for the public moments, because I didn't need that relationship to be on display. Like, of course, we worked it out. Like, had my mom not been able to sort of walk, I had initially wanted both my parents to walk me down the aisle. You know, they're divorced, but I feel like, you know,
they would have.
100%. And my dad actually was really sad that my mom wasn't there. It was kind of, it was one of the most beautiful parts of my wedding, actually, is that my dad really missed her. And even though they were divorced, they were friendly. And it seemed like that was something that he, even after the divorce, really looked forward to.
Yeah.
Is sharing that moment with her.
I think,
and saying,
so too, because it was sort of like a chapter.
Look what we did together. Like, this is amazing. We raised this kid and this is this great moment. So I think he was really sad. So that was hard for me, but I didn't miss the public moment of everyone seeing her, especially because my mom, like, had a lot of pride and she didn't want to be seen that way. And I think her husband had a hard time understanding that.
Yeah.
But as a woman, I'm like, oh my gosh, totally. You didn't want that.
You said, she wasn't herself. I mean,
no, like, she wasn't lucid. I mean, I think, you know, my mom's best friend was sitting in the front row, which was wonderful, you know, and I think there were enough people that didn't know that were just there to celebrate a marriage. And I think that was really important to us also, that there was enough people who didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So that it wasn't like, oh, this wedding is extra special and sad. You know, it was like there were people who just knew us and were excited for us, you know? So I think that combination was imperative.
You
needed a combination, because I needed someone to understand exactly where I was coming from. But I also
And to represent your mom, like to be her...
Be her surrogates, be there for her, you know, and I needed that. But then I also needed people who didn't know, who were just there to have a, to celebrate us and to have a party.
Like, yeah.
I'm so happy for that, both of those things, you know.
So the day, the wedding day, when you woke up, having made the decision not to go to hospice that day, did that feel like a weight lifted, or did it, until like things got rolling, did it still feel like maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't?
No, I think that it was the right decision, and I knew it was, and I was happy that it was in your hands and not mine.
But it wasn't. That's the thing.
Well,
like, you surrendered.
I felt like it was your hands, and I let it be, and that was good for me.
Okay.
It was hard because I just felt like everyone was looking at me all day. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? You know, there was, like, a lot of focus in a way that, like, it was hard for me to tell if it was just because I was the bride or it was because my mom was dying.
Yeah.
Like, it was really hard to tell. Maybe it was because just because I was the bride, but... It also felt like it could be this other thing.
Lauren and Blake took very few family photos or even formal photos after the wedding.
Yeah.
I'm talking like 3 to 4 minutes.
I know. And Chrissy was like, you're nuts. Don't do that.
I was like, please dedicate more time to this. Please let us like do an actual lineup with, you know, his brother and me and, you know, like let us have these portraits. And you guys were just like, no, we don't want to.
No, he was kind of a brat about it. And I snuck in more than we had intended to do anyway. And I'm grateful for that. However, it is really hard for me to look at a photograph of like, quote unquote, my side of the family because, you know, it's
glaring.
It's missing the most important person.
Yeah.
You know. But I'm glad we didn't do a ton of those at the end of the day. And those, you know, aren't the best photos. The sweaty... drunk dancing photos are the best photos.
In your case, they were, because your photographer was a maniac who was like out on the dance floor the entire time.
He's like, I'm mad, yes,
with a crazy light.
He's nuts.
So a lot of couples do something for someone that's not there. Usually it's like in memorial, and this wasn't at that point yet, so that was a weird. And you mentioned that your mom's best friend was in the front row.
Yeah, we put her with the family.
Yeah,
for that,
so there wasn't like a reserved seat that was like where Lauren's mom isn't sitting. Or a mention directly of...
There was a mention, but if you didn't know what was happening, you would have missed it.
Okay.
So for those... Because I wanted to, like... I thought about my aunt and uncle, my mom's brother who had traveled, and other people who were there who knew my mom. And so I wanted to make mention of it, but didn't make a huge deal about it. So our officiant said something like, so Anne and Don are on this, you know...
Yeah,
on the
FaceTime.
So you wave to them. Everybody waved to them. And so if you didn't know, you wouldn't necessarily know. But for those who did.
Okay. Was there any other way that you, like, had to make a last-minute change or decision based on...
Yeah, we had decided, like, oh, if she's there, Blake, you will come down the aisle and you will give her a kiss on the cheek and you will have a meaningful moment with her.
Right.
So, and I think he was, like, looking forward to that, so he was bummed. But, yeah, we'll have a meaningful moment. So we just shifted a few of the things that, and also her seating at dinner, you know, they definitely like shifted the seats in that way and like move people up.
Had you had anything planned if she had been there that didn't happen during dinner or after?
Well, all the things that you think you're going to do with your mom in private, the things that you think she's going to say, or just the sweet moment where you just hold her hands and you go, we're here at this moment, we're here at this really special moment. Yeah, I mean, of course, in my mind I had all the fantasy of my moments with her,
yeah,
or seeing her on the dance floor, or thinking this is the last time we want to see her dance, or this, or you know, these things that I'm like, oh, what the hell, why could we not have had 2 more weeks, you know, that kind of thing. Like, yeah, of course, not like structurally, because we always went with a contingency plan, because I told my DJ, like, this is what we're gonna do, you know, right, dance wise, or this is what we're going to do. You know,
yeah. And I told vendors, people were able to like go into this
mode, but you felt like, I know people fantasize about those moments, but then it's almost like we look forward to them so much that we don't even recognize it when it's happening, but you felt a loss that it, at times it wasn't happening.
I missed those moments.
So what happens then, Lauren? What's your, like, you're going to be dealing with grief now. It's only a couple of months since she passed, really, like, in, you know, the scheme of things.
Yeah, I guess, full disclosure, she died 2 weeks later after our wedding, and we spent a ton of time with her afterwards, and it was beautiful and hard and awful and all those things. And the hospice people kept reminding us that we were newlyweds, and every day the nurses would come in and say, how many days has it been? Like, you know, 7 days, 8 days.
Yeah, do you have any photos back?
Oh my gosh, they were so awesome about it. They were just like, don't forget, you guys.
Yeah, and you have to go on a honeymoon.
Yes, you have to, which we will do in January. So we knew we were going to wait. But yeah, I would just say, like, you know, she was there. Like, I am a big part of her, and she was there in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like, she was there in the, you know, she was there in that she chose the necklace that I was going to wear, that I thought, oh, I'm not going to wear that. Mom, I can't believe you bought that for me. You know, of course it was the right piece. You know, of course she bought my dress, and she, you know, we had talked about all the details and how to carry yourself and, you know, how to be present in the moment, like all those things. Like, you think your mom teaches you those things, and I am because of her.
Graceful and
so,
polite. And...
Yeah, so she was there. It just wasn't in the way I thought it was going to be. And this... I was mad, and I was sad, and, you know, I think I work really hard and pay lots of money to work through it.
Yeah.
I'll always be... It's weird, because I'm like, oh man, I'm really like holding on to this thing about my wedding. Like, why am I still holding on to this?
That's ridiculous. Of course you're going to hold on to it.
It's hard. It's really hard.
These two giant moments of your life smashed into each other in a way that felt really unfair and just like...
Well, people said, why are you doing this? Like, why can't you push it off? Why can't you cancel it? Why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah.
I think, well... My mom was like, how dare you? Don't you dare cancel your wedding, and don't you dare push it off or move it up. Like, this is set up in a certain way, and like, I'm going to do everything I can to be there, but I want you to have the thing that you want to have. And yeah, I wish she had let us do a little ceremony earlier, but she was so determined to make it. And if we had done that, she would have given up. And so we didn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it is going to be the touchstone. And I guess at the end of the day, I look at my husband and I think, wow, that was the eye of the storm.
Yeah, we did all of this in spite of...
Yeah, so if that's the eye of the storm of life, then we can do it. Then we can do it.
Yes,
you know? We can do it.
That's huge. I mean, this... It would have been huge even if you had been 1 year into marriage and one of you lost a parent. Oh, my God. It's crazy. I'm, like...
I know. Sorry,
sitting in my closet,
it's
and
terrible.
There's, like, tears rolling down both our faces, but I can't help, like, listening and think, like... Listening to you and think to all of those people out there that are planning your weddings, like... Go, like, hug your mom.
Yeah,
like,
hug your mom.
Planning your wedding or not, although I don't think you'd be listening to this podcast if you're not, but, like, whoever you are in the world, like, hug your mom, hug your dad, hug the people that are still here, because, like, those moments that you thought, I don't know, those moments, her helping you put your shoes on or adjusting your veil or whatever, like, you didn't get those, and it was like, how are you not going to get that?
I just think, like, you have to just shift your perspective, right? So our goal as a family was to get my mom to my wedding. And we had to change our goal as a family. And so we had to say, you know, she is here in so many ways.
And so close.
She's down the road. And that was not my choice. And that was so hard for me to get married knowing that she was just down the road. I mean, that honestly was just...
It's a gut-wrenching.
Near impossible. But knowing that... knowing my mom as I did, that this is what she'd want for me, and what she'd want is for me to enjoy this day and to be present and to, be the daughter that she raised. And she did her best to be there, and she couldn't, but that's okay. That's okay. But I would just say, for anyone planning their wedding under these circumstances, find a way to honor that person, whether it's private or public, whatever it is, but just understand that impact on your life, and that they may not be present physically during that day, but they're there. They totally are there. And I guess for me, like I said earlier, just it really helped me to not sweat the small stuff. Like, I didn't freak out about anything. I wasn't on track to be a bridezilla about anything anyway, but I really just valued sort of the kindness of people around me. I just thought, oh, wow. Like, anyone who made it easy and anyone who was present. And yeah, I just felt so grateful at the end of it. You know, I just felt a lot of gratitude at the end of that day. And we did. We had, like, this amazing day surrounded by really, really tough days. And there were so many tough days to come. I had no idea. But, again, like, we went to that hospice the day after and had a little ceremony and did some things. And just the nurses there just kept reminding us that we were these lovely newlyweds, and that was helpful.
So I would ask if you could do anything differently, what would you do? But that's such a...
No, I mean, like, you know, it's so funny. I have a friend and she's not getting married, but her dad is very sick in hospice care. And I would say, like, you know, I would just tell people, like, don't ever regret visiting. Like, go see that person that you love, even when you're in the midst of wedding planning, even when you have to put off a tasting, or even when you have to, you know, just fudge your timeline. Like, make that trip. It's totally worth it. And then also just to be present with your partner and say, like, let's go have that dinner where we don't talk about our wedding and focus on our life, you know? Focus on our life and talk about our goals afterwards. And we did it.
Thank you for listening today.
I'm so sad. And you're so funny. And we're so funny together.
I know. Sorry, I have this, like, tentatively titled, like, When It's Not Fun. But I truly believe it was important to at least mine this story a little bit, because you're in my life in such a profound way. And this is something that people, I mean, if not the death of your parent, then a grandparent, or just somebody being sick. This is something that people have to deal with while also planning a wedding and then figuring it out on the wedding day. So thank you for talking to me and to us. And, you know, we will maybe be able to record another one soon. So thank you for listening. And as always, please check us out on Twitter and Facebook, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com. If you have any questions, and our website is where you can download the episodes, or iTunes, and you can leave a review and share with your friends and all of that. Okay. Bye.